I'm Rebecca Kent, the Special Projects Editor at Estates Gazette, and I'm here with Jeremy Newsom, who has retired very recently as an Executive Trustee of Grosvenor Estates. We've been at a ULI event this morning about Jonathan Rose's book, The Well-Tempered City, where we sort of spoke about, I suppose, the social fabric of cities and how they've evolved. And we'll get onto that in a moment, I suppose. But first of all, congratulations on your retirement. I'm just let's start. I just really like to know perhaps some of the positive experiences you're going to take away from your, 25 odd years?
Probably 30 years, yeah. I mean, it's essentially my whole career, because I did start there as a graduate, even though I left for 10 years. And so, I mean, it's part of my life. It's, indivisible from my experience.
So what have been the highlights then? Maybe give some key points in your career there that you're really proud of.
To have been involved with a business with such a long-term view. I mean, it's very conscious of its 300-year history and has a view about 300 years ahead. And I think that contributes to much better decision-making. So, you know, as I've moved amongst my peer group, I've always felt pleased and relieved that actually we're able to apply a longer term thinking to real estate than many of the organizations, you know, with public listed shareholders and so on. So that's the enduring sense of being part of a chain through time, and hope to have contributed something to that in the way it has evolved. So it's an evolution, a constant evolution.
So tell me about some of that longer term thinking and how that's manifested, I suppose, because it can be a challenge, you know, in this time of property and everyone's trying to make some money very quickly. Perhaps give me an idea of how that was implemented and some of the benefits of that we can see.
It's ingrained, so I mean, it's hard to isolate things, but effectively it means at times you put aside short-term gain because you believe that the longer-term gain will be greater, being prepared to wait for returns, not worrying about tomorrow. And so, you know, at a time when rents are rising, it's easy to chase rents, allow them to peak and then collapse. A better way is to moderate rent rises over time and have a more consistent profile. That's a much more effective way to manage.
And tell me about how you think the property industry has evolved, along with Grosvenor Estates in the time you've been there, for better or worse. What are some of the biggest changes?
Goodness, it is so completely different. But I suppose it was a time of individuals when I started work. I mean, there were some very prominent people in the industry. And I'm pleased to say that over time, the prominence of individuals has given way to the culture and of organizations. So the organizations have become bigger than the people. On the whole, I think that's a very good thing. Notwithstanding, people complain about lack of characters in the industry and so on, look back nostalgically to some of the greats of the past. But and the industry has a better sense, I think, of the way it relates to society as a whole. We've been talking about cities today. We can see as individual property owners that we have a role to play in the city as a whole. I think that's better understood. So it's perhaps a bit more outward looking approach than it used to be.
Tell me about the future of Grosvenor Estates. You know, where have you left it? Future strategies, expansion plans perhaps? I mean, what are the characteristics going to define Grosvenor Estates over the next sort of 20 to 30 years?
Well, that's for the next team, obviously, to work out. But if you look back at what it was, it's a more diversified organisation. So that makes it a safer organisation. It's diversified internationally, the type of property that it's got involved in, and then more recently there's a whole new business called WeChief, which is investing in the future of food. Food and real estate are two essential components to living, so they both have very long-term characteristics as industries to be involved in. So they're more connected perhaps than at first sight, but again, further diversification, less reliance on just one magnificent piece of real estate in central London.
Yeah. And some might say you're leaving at a rather clever time with Brexit about to be, you know, Article 50 about to be triggered. Perhaps you can maybe just talk about quickly Grosvenor Estates' Brexit plan, if there is one, or how, you know, the direction of travel, how you think it's all going to pan out yourself.
And well, this is a personal view rather than a corporate organisational view. I mean, clearly Grosvenor is affected to the extent Central London will be affected. I believe it will. It'll be a process of change over a long time, at least 10 years. When we get to the end of 10 years, we'll look back and not know what was a Brexit cause and what was something else. So it'll dissipate, but there will be a lot of change, I think. Not one that I personally entertained, but it is what it is. And, you know, all organisations need to be positive about what's happening and not negative. They need to embrace opportunity that's going to be there and help mitigate the change, and which, as I say, will come in pretty slowly, actually. And politically, we focus on negotiations and dates. The reality of life isn't that. It's not the politics. It's what goes on the ground.
And I mentioned just earlier our talk about well-tempered cities, and we spoke a little bit about what leadership, in politics, and what individuals can do. On an industry level, what do you think the property sector should be doing to adapt to this massive sort of population growth and some of the challenges that are coming up?
I think the industry needs to point out what it believes needs to happen and make sure the voice is heard by politicians. And again, a personal view born out of my own career, but asking politicians to give us a longer term view when they propose policy, what's the objective in the long term of that policy? So holding our politicians to account in a slightly more informed way, rather than, you know, at each election, you know, did you do what you promised? That's crazy way of working. Life changes and you have to adapt policy. But asking politicians to explain what they're trying to achieve, I think, is something the industry, when it comes to the real estate, needs to be better at.
Do you think the property industry has that influence with government?
I think at local levels. So if you take the organisations like London First, I mean, that engages with politicians and is able to represent industry in a way in which, say, the RICS, engages at a policy level, but that's not the same. And I think government often thinks, if it's heard from the RICS, the professional body, that it's consulted with the industry. So we need to be better at getting the messages across, but equally, I think politicians need to try to trust people in the real estate industry more than they have done. There are some pretty shocking property people who are only out to make as much money as they possibly can in the shortest possible time. Those clearly aren't the ones who should have the loudest voice. But if politicians look beyond the old image of the property developer and understand more what people like Jonathan Rose, ULI, really spend their time thinking about, there's an incredible amount of value there.
Excellent. One last question. What does retirement look like for Jeremy Newsom?
Well, it's not doing nothing. I don't like the idea of wasting time. And being employed, tends to mean you use time quite efficiently. But I am keen to explore other avenues. So, as a 21-year-old, we all make choices without much information. I chose a fairly conventional business career. And I'd like to explore what a more artistic route might have looked like.
I.e. painting, as we
discussed. Some painting, some writing. Jonathan Rose mentioned whether emotion in business, is a valid trait. And I think, actually, the unemotional business response actually is a shame. We have a much reduced vocabulary at the end of a career in business than we had at the start. That's unfortunate, I think. So, how can actually business and normal life coexist a bit better, right? that's part of what I'm interested to understand, having had a business career.
Excellent. Well, all the best, Jeremy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
No, thank you.